Well, we're looking at the Lord's Prayer in this series, Yours is the Kingdom, and honing in on that phrase today, forgive us of our debts. I've been trying to get back to playing some golf with some buddies of mine lately that have kind of gotten me into it. Man, you never think that it'd be so hard to hit a little stationary ball with a metal rod, you know, a stick. But it is. Man, it's a tough game. You know, getting a little bit better at it, I think. I was reading the other day, they say the best wood to have in your bag is a pencil with an eraser on it. No, I'm just joking, you know, so you change your score. But, you know, sometimes we're like that, though, with our lives, aren't we? We get so caught up in our guilt and our sin. And, you know, Christians, they say, actually struggle with guilt just about sometimes as much as other people, according to surveys. And that might be because Christians become more aware of their sin, but also perhaps maybe because they're not understanding what Christ has done to deal with their guilt, to deal with their sin. I was reading about this golfer. He was getting ready to hit his shot, and he heard over the loudspeaker, would the man and the women at the women's tee please move back to the men's tee? And he kept asking him to move, you know, as he was beginning to take his time and hit his golf shot. And finally, after the third announcement, the guy trying to hit the shot looks back up and says, would the man in the clubhouse please calm down and be quiet so I can hit my second shot? You know, so sometimes we're like that. We don't understand where we really are, and we want to hide that from others in our pride with our sin in our lives. And that's part of the problem. How do we deal with our guilt? Do we really understand, even though we say we're Christians, what God has given us in Christ? And do we really understand how God's grace and forgiveness transform our lives so that we grow to love and obey the Lord more and more? Well, that's what this part of the Lord's Prayer hones in on. And as we pray it as a pattern in our daily lives, we find that God will use it to help us experience His forgiveness and grace and transform our lives. So this week we're going to focus on the first part, forgive us our debts, the power of grace to change us as we seek God's grace. But next Sunday we'll focus on that other half of it, as we forgive our debtors and how God changes our relationships by His grace. So first the vertical part, relationship with God, then the horizontal relationships with other people as we pray this prayer. Because remember, the Lord's Prayer is not something we're just supposed to spout out and just say it. It's meant to be a pattern and a model to affect all of our praying in our Christian lives. Wiersbe said, when we come to the throne of grace, we may have to interrupt our prayers for others to pray for ourselves. And that's what this prayer gets at. We continually are dependent on God's grace. So what's the first key that we see here if we want to pray, forgive us our debts more effectively? Number one, review your sins thoroughly. Understand what sin is really all about and review and think through your sins thoroughly. I like what Steve Brown said. He said, I've got good news and bad news. The bad news is you're a lot worse than you think, but the good news is God's grace and mercy is much greater than you ever imagined. But we have to start with the bad news. We've got to see the bad news first, and regularly looking at our sins thoroughly as we pray, forgive us of our debts. We've got to review our sins. It's like the black backdrop that a jeweler will use to show you the beauty of a diamond. You got to see the darkness first to see the beauty of the light and what God has given us in Jesus. And when people don't take sin seriously enough, even as Christians, it causes all kinds of spiritual failure and problem. The reason Jesus came into this world was to deal with our sin. And He has. But we need to understand how serious it is to experience how great the forgiveness God has given us of our debts. When we pray this, we've got to understand just how great those debts are, and more and more. And no, we can never fully understand, but we're meant to understand that more and more. Someone said, in our day, there's frustration over debts financially people have. But in Jesus' day, financial debt could be a matter of life and death. And when somebody forgave you of it, it was an incredible thing. So the first thing you do, if you want to deal with your financial debt, you go to a counselor and try to figure out exactly what is it that I owe. Can we get a grasp on that so I can deal with it? Now, the truth is we can't pay off of our debt, right? We can't pay it off. And we can never, as the hymn reminds us, truly know just how much we owe. I realize that. However, part of praying forgive us our debts is regularly evaluating the depth of our sin at that time. We've got to have those times where we do that. It involves asking God to put the spotlight on our hearts to better understand just how much Christ has forgiven us, because first of all, we understand the greatness of those debts. God wants us to come to Him saying, Lord, show me my heart. Help me to see those heart sins, my bad attitude, the things that I've done wrong, so that I can better understand just how much I owe You and just how much You've given me in Christ paying for sin. And it begins here. We're not going to grow to experience how great forgiveness is when we pray this prayer if we don't review our sins thoroughly, regularly and regularly. So it's kind of like doing a regular personal heart inventory, moral inventory. You assess your heart. You say, Lord, I'm going to get away with You. I want to spend some time, and I want You to do business with me. I want You to show me my heart. I'm not going to rush through this. I'm not going to say, God, here's 5 minutes. Tell me all the sins I've done, you know, and then let's move on. I want You to show me my heart. We're going to pray Psalm 139 that says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my thoughts, and see if there are anything in me that offends me, and lead me in the path that is everlasting. So we say, Lord, I'm going to get away in a quiet place and do this evaluation. Get a pen, a notepad, and write down what God shows you, and say, Lord, help me to see what I'm struggling with. Help me to see where I am right now. Help me to see the sins I need to lay before You and understand and confess to You. Because that's how we experience His grace. I always like the story of this young guy. He went in uni. He was going to uni. His mom had always done his laundry, as often is the case. But she made this duffel bag for him and said, I want you to fill this up, you know, every week, and you take it to the laundromat. You know, put your dirty clothes in, take it there, and wash them. Well, a week later, he got to uni. He took that bag full of clothes. He got in, and he got to the big washer, and he just put the whole bag into the washing machine. And this girl comes by and says, well, don't you think it would work a little bit better, you know, as it's thumping, boom, boom, beating, you know, if you just took the clothes out of the bag first and put them in there? She said, I think they would get a whole lot more clean if you did that. Now, how many times are we like that with God, though, with our sins? We just say, here's my sins, Lord, forgive me. But we don't grow to know how great our debts are, and therefore how great His grace and forgiveness is when we pray, forgive us our debts. It's kind of like going to the dentist, you know. We look at God sometimes like that, like, if I really open up my heart to Him, you know, you go to the dentist, He's going to find something even more, you know, than that little cavity. He's going to probe. And we feel that way with God, but God wants to help us see our sin so that we'll know how great His grace and forgiveness is in Jesus Christ. But we have to see it. God wants to see more of the specifics when we get honest with Him and lay it out before Him. See, the purpose, just like with that laundry and that young man, is that you put all of it individually in there so each piece gets clean. So we are, you know, clean. And God wants us to understand with each of our sins, He's forgiven us in Christ. But as we struggle and grow in sanctification, we've got to see the reality of it and know what He's given us in Jesus. That's how we grow, to experience His grace and know what He's given us. So He calls us to confess, like 1 John 1 says, and agree with Him about those sins so that we know to experience what He's really given us in Jesus Christ. That's what changes our hearts as we pray, forgive us our debts. We review our sins thoroughly. 1 John 1 also says, if we claim to be without sin, we're deceiving ourselves. He's talking there about, you think you don't have sin in the past? Nah, that's wrong. You think you're not struggling now? No, you're deceiving yourself. You're playing a game if you think as a Christian you're not struggling with sin. You know, others may not see it, but God sees it. He knows our hearts. So don't play a game with God, 1 John 1 says. If you claim to be without sin, you're just pretending and just trying to deceive others, but you can't fool God. Let me ask you something. What is it perhaps right now in your Christian life that you're pretending about? That you think, is not that big of a deal that you just sort of push to the background. James 4 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you might be healed. Now, only God can forgive sin, and He has in Christ. We don't confess to another man or person to be forgiven. Only God does that. But the Bible's clear that God uses it when we've got a person, let's say, who's a Christian we can trust, probably only one or two, and we get real with them. God will use that to point us to what's been given in Jesus Christ, and to help us grow out of our sin and know the forgiveness we've been given in Christ. Confess to one another, James says, that you might pray for one another and be healed. The Lord's Prayer is something we pray as a pattern, and it's private in some sense, but it's also corporate. Because what do? We pray, forgive me my debts? No. Forgive us our debts. So it's intended to be used corporately in public use, in unison. That's why we pray it together in churches and in other settings. We pray, forgive us our debts, and we're saying, Lord, help me to see more and more how great our debt is, not just mine, but us as a church, where we've sinned against you together, where we've sinned maybe as a nation. We pray like Daniel in Daniel 9. We don't just pray this for ourselves. We say, Lord, help me to see I'm in a family, how I've maybe hurt other people. Forgive me of that. Help me to see how you've forgiven me. Help me to change through that. Help me to understand this better. And as someone says, as it becomes harder and harder to hold on to religious pride when you pray this way, and then look down on other Christians in their sin, when you really understand what our debt is together and my debt and what Christ has given us, it changes you. It humbles you. There's no point in praying this, forgive us our debts, if we're not going to really reflect on where our sin is and the depth of it, and then ask God to forgive us based on that. So you can see how the Lord's Prayer fits to what we looked at last Sunday, don't we? It all fits together. That's the thing about it. What did we focus on? How everything is a gift from God. We owe everything to God. We pray, give us our daily bread. We're thankful to God because everything, the breath we breathe, the bread we eat, comes as a gift from God. So we owe Him everything. And that idea of thankfulness should prepare us to pray, forgive us our debts. You say, why? Because it ought to cause us to think more and more, my life is not my own. I owe God my life. And instead, what we do, this is what sin is, folks. The middle letter of the word sin is what? I. We're like Frank Sinatra, the old singer used to say, I did it my way. And that's the way we want to be. And this is what sin is we're saying, no, you give us everything, but no, I'm not thankful for it. I've done it myself, Lord, and I'll live my own way, thank you. And that's the way we live. When we come to the reality of that more and more, we understand what we're praying when we say, forgive us our debts. We owe everything to God. And we've not been thankful to Him. And we still struggle with this as Christians, don't we? When we know He's given us such incredible grace in Christ to forgive us of our sins, we still live with ungratitude and want to do things our own way. And it ought to just overwhelm us when we come and we pray, forgive us our debts. I know I need Your grace, Lord, for everything and Your forgiveness. Because we owe an eternal debt to God, called sin. Because life is a gift from God and we owe Him everything. It's all on loan from Him. And rather than seeking to glorify and thank Him, we rebel against Him except by His grace. So this is what this idea of being grateful, how it ties in with praying for forgiveness. God created us to enjoy Him and glorify Him. And we want to do our own thing. You know, the truth is, going back to Adam and Eve before sin even entered the world, do you realize because everything was a gift from God, they owed everything to God. They owed a debt to God. Now, sin entered the world, and they didn't want to live for God. They didn't want to be grateful to God. So this nature that Adam and Eve have is passed on to us. And only God in His grace can forgive us and change us to that. It's like this father quizzed his little boy after the sermon. He said, what did the preacher speak on? The boy said, sin. Well, elaborate. What did he say about sin? And the little boy said, he's against it. He's against it. God is against sin because sin is against Him. He's given us everything. And this is at the heart of what sin is. And the fact is, we don't realize this many times, do we? Even as Christians, we go on our merry way and we forget. If we don't have this as the pattern of our lives, we'll tend to forget this. So Jesus says, pray, forgive us our debts. That's your pattern. That's your prayer life. Romans 5:19, it says, through the disobedience of one, the many were made sinners. See, we are not just, it's not just forgive us our sin, is it? It's our sins. So many sins. We're not just sinners that do sin. We are sinners by nature that want to go against God. That's our nature. And we pray, forgive us our sins. And we can't claim ignorance of the law. Like, well, I didn't know what God said. God made His Word, His standard clear. He's given us His Word. That's why what we do in church is so important. When we confess our sins of omission, omitting things. It's not like the little boy who said, sins of omission are when we haven't done sins we forgot to do. You know, it's not a sin of omission. No, it's when we things God has said we're to do. We're to love Him with our hearts. We're to all of our hearts. We're to love others. We're to serve. We're to minister. And we don't do it. And we go our own way. We're accumulating that debt of sin against God. And we confess our sins of commission. When we transgress and willingly rebel against God, we need to be made aware of those. That's why we do it in public worship and confess those sins. We need to do that. Think about all the times, just in for us as Christians, where we have not taken advantage of the time we could have with God. Do we think about that? Prayer time we could have had with God. Quiet time. We sing our songs. We just go through the motions and worship half-heartedly when God wants us to worship Him with all of our hearts. Do we really think about the debt of our sin? We've got to do that regularly. Do we think about unkind words we've said to others? People that God wanted us to reach out to and we were so consumed in our lives we didn't act in love. It's all a part of this debt that's against God that Christ has paid for. But we need to understand if we want to experience more of that grace, what we're praying when we say, forgive us our debts. He calls us to love Him with all of our heart and soul and strength and mind. Can you say you've done that? Do you say you're doing that as a Christian now? Yes, we're growing in that. We're called to love others as ourselves. Can we say, honestly, even as Christians, we're growing to love others more and more the way God calls us to. It's a growth process, isn't it? It's a process. So we look at God's law and we see more and more clearly how we have turned against Him and lived our own way. I like the story of a Christian man. He approached his 5-year-old son who said that he wanted to ask Jesus in his heart. And the father said, well, you can do that as you get older, but I don't know if you're ready to make that commitment. And the boy got out of bed another time. And the father, and he said, well, I want to ask Jesus in my heart. And the father said, well, let's make sure we're ready for this later. And the third time he came back and the father started talking to him about the Ten Commandments. And it appeared to the dad that this boy didn't really think he had broken the commandments that much. But then he said, well, have you told any lies lately? Even one lie? He said, yeah, I think I've done that, Dad. He said, do you realize that makes you a liar? A liar. You could go with all the commandments on that, couldn't you? But this little boy got broken down by it, realized he had sinned against God. The Holy Spirit seemed to work on him. And the dad said, well, do you want to ask Jesus in your heart now? And the little boy said, I don't know, Dad. Now you say, well, is that good? Well, in some ways it is, because the boy's starting to realize what his sin really is about against God. Then he can really trust in Christ as his Savior. Ryken said, when we pray as Jesus taught, we come as guilty sinners. We accept our legal status as God's debtors and agree we deserve just punishment for our sins. That's where it starts. Number two is not only review our sins thoroughly, but request God's grace regularly. As you pray this, we get to the more positive side of this. I was reading about Yahya Warhabs, this man back in 2006. His dad passed away, and this man had his dad's phone disconnected and paid the final bill of about $23 in Malaysia. But then he was surprised to receive another bill from the company, and when he looked inside, he was shocked. It was a bill for $218 trillion. for this phone bill and saying, you've got to pay in 10 days or you'll be prosecuted. And so either it was a mistake or someone used the phone illegally, but he obviously, you can't pay that debt. Who can pay that? But you see, the point is, every time we pray, forgive us our debts, we should realize again, we are debtors who owed a debt to God we could never pay. It was impossible. But that Christ, in God's love, came and paid that on the cross, and we seek His forgiveness based on what Christ has already done. We review our sins thoroughly, but then we request God's grace regularly as we pray, forgive us our debts. We reflect on how great the debt is, and we see how much trouble we're in, how great this debt is for ourselves and others. I mean, think about all of the sins we committed, we said, and that we struggle with. How could we ever try to pay that off? But you know, this is what religious people and false religions often try to do. Even Christians can fall into this false idea. You know, you can ask people sometimes, non-Christians, well, if God wanted you to come into heaven, He said, why should I let you in? And they say, well, I know I've done some bad things, but I think if you had like a scale and you put my good things and I followed some commandments, it'll outweigh the bad. No, because God doesn't grade on a curve. And this is the way people think sometimes. Like, you imagine your life is on a weighted scale, and somehow even Christians or people who say they're Christians fall into this and think, well, I've kind of done some pretty good things, you know, and I think God will look at my life and think that's pretty good. You know, I mean, I know the bad's there. No. It's like you're floating down the river, heading over this huge cliff, waterfall. You're going to die, and someone throws you a solid rope, and you want to still hold on to the log while holding on to the rope at the same time. And that's in our human DNA to think, even as Christians, we can make up for our sins somehow. Like somehow we're going to, you know, I'm saved, yeah, I believe in Christ, but when I struggle with these sins, I'm going to make up for it, you know. The idea is, Lord, I know I've sinned, but I'm really trying to be a better Christian, you know. I mean, subtly we even sort of think, well, God, don't you see my life? I'm going to church. I'm trying to serve some. I know I'm struggling with these things, and we want to kind of maneuver with God somehow. I've tried to be better. But we don't come to God, number one, begging Him to forgive us. If you're a Christian, God wants to forgive you and you experience His forgiveness more than you want to even ask for it. We don't say, please, Lord, pretty please, with sugar on top. Please, you know, I'm sorry, please forgive me. We don't bribe and bargain with God. Well, you know, I'll try to be a better person if you'll just forgive me of what I've done wrong here, Lord. That's not the Christian life. You believe. You don't beg or bargain or bribe. You believe God's promise that is sure. Because our forgiveness is not based on who we are and what we've done wrong or not done. It's based on who God is. 1 John 1 tells us He is faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Because why? Christ has paid the price on the cross. And so we come to Him because of who He is. And we believe. Like this pastor and a member of his church went to this house call to this wealthy man trying to get some help for another man who was very poor and had had a heart attack and didn't have insurance, couldn't pay the bills. And the rich man greeted the minister and this member. And the minister said, we're hoping maybe you could give towards this cause and be generous. And he said, well, who is the man? And the rich man said, well, I'm sorry, I can't tell you. We don't tell you the names of people that are in need in the church. He said, well, if I'm going to help, I insist on knowing his identity. I was going to give $500, but I'll give $1,000, you know, if you'll tell me who it is. He said, I'm sorry, I can't do that. And the man kept upping the ante. You know, well, I'll give you $2,000 if you tell me the name of the guy. I'll give you $3,000. He just kept going on and on. He said, and finally the pastor went to the door and he said, I should have left long ago. He said, I'm not going to give up this man's name and his honor for the highest bidder. But before he could leave, the rich man said, let me talk to you privately, Pastor. And he went and took him aside. He said, Pastor, I know I've been wealthy, but I've struggled lately. I've lost just about everything I have. And I've been wanting to get help, but I'm afraid for people to know what I'm struggling with. And the pastor looked at him and said, okay, I figured out now. I know what you've been doing. You've been trying to test me and see if you could trust me.
to keep it in confidence. And he said, I will do that. You might think you can trust a human being. The reason I tell you that story, you might think you can trust other people. And yes, it's good to have people that we lean on and Christians that help us. But you know, the Bible tells us we can trust God wholeheartedly. And that's what we do when we confess our sins and we put our faith in Christ. And as we continue to grow and we believe God and we bring our sins and trust in what Christ has done, it's because God can be trusted to listen to us and keep His Word. And when God says He will forgive us and forget, and that He's cast our sin as far as the east is from the west, He means it. You can take it to the spiritual bank. He has paid it all in Christ. He is fully reliable, and He forgives us in Christ. If we confess our sin, 1 John says, He is faithful and just based on what Christ has done to forgive us. Do you turn to Him? You know what the word confess in the Bible means? It's the Greek word homologeo, which means same, homo, but also to agree or to speak the same. That's what confession is. Christian confession means to speak the same. Confession is not you saying, God, I won't do it again. I'll be different. That's not confession. It is agreeing with God. This is sin. And I've been wrong. But I'm coming to you based on what Christ has done, and knowing I'm a Christian, I'm forgiven ultimately. But I want you to cleanse me and help me to experience this. I'm coming and trusting in you, and I'm saying, I need your grace. That's the only hope that I have. I'm requesting your grace. That's what we pray when we pray, forgive us our debts. We speak the same with God. Someone said, the truth is forgiveness is not something we can ever work for, only something we can ever ask God for. Do you really believe that? Are you turning to Him regularly in this prayer? Like the story of this young man, he sent a letter to his dad from uni. He was broke. And he thought about in the letter just putting in there real in big bold letters, Dad, I'm broke, send money. But he didn't want to be too obvious. And so everywhere in the letter, where there was an S, he put a dollar sign. You know, and the idea was, my dad's going to get this. You know, when we come to, all of the Lord's Prayer has that in it, doesn't it? That if you're a Christian, you're a child of God, and you're in Him, and you come to this holy God who is our Father. That's where we start the prayer, don't we? And we seek His grace. And we turn to the One who alone can forgive us and does forgive us, and we trust in Him. We know we're in total dependence upon Him for help. Richard Sieb said, there is more mercy in Christ than sin in us. Do you believe that? You know, we read that story of the prodigal son we know so well. And that son, he goes off, and it gives us such a picture of our sin and God's great love and our need and what it means that we're forgiven. And this son, he goes off and he blows everything, right? This father has given the son everything. And what does he do for that? He goes off and blows it all. No gratitude, no faithfulness. You know, that's meant to be a picture of us in our sin, what we do to God. The son owed everything to the father, and there's no gratitude or gratefulness or faithfulness. We need to remember that. But we also need to see the picture of the fact that this son came home and the father was waiting with open arms for him. And you know, the son came to his senses. That's a good thing. But you know, one thing he did wrong is he underestimated how great the father's forgiveness really was. Didn't he? He's got a plan of what I'm going to say. And he's thinking, I can't really be a son anymore. You know, I'm going to have to earn my way back with my father and be a hired hand. And he's got his speech all ready, and he's going in, and he comes in, and you know what? Before he can say a word, the father's hugging him, and he's got a party planned for him. He's already looking for him. He's forgiven. You know, and there are Christians sometimes that still look at God like that son. When trying to make our way with God, I got to make things better. I know I trust in Christ a long time ago, but now I've got to make my life better. And we don't walk in grace and seek Him, pray and forgive our sins, asking Him to do what He alone can do. Forgiveness, someone said, means to let go without a sense of guilt or obligation of punishment. And we're going to look at more of what that means and how we forgive others next week. So we'll see more of that practical. But do we understand this?
This is what we're being reminded of when we pray, forgive us our debts. We're admitting our great sin and we have no hope except for what Christ has given us. And God is faithful. He's given us free grace at the cost of His Son. And when we go to Him weighed down with our struggles and sin, He doesn't sit down and try to work out a payment plan. He doesn't charge us more interest like a credit card company. The debt's been canceled. And so we ask Him, we look to Him to do what He alone can do, and that is forgive us based on what His Son has done alone. And that leads me to number three. Reflect on Christ's cross deeply. Reflect on Christ's cross deeply. Moeller said, if you think the gospel is not present in the Lord's Prayer, you've missed the whole point. Tom Allen is this former Army Ranger in the U.S., and he remembers watching the movie Saving Private Ryan, this old popular movie. It's old now. Doesn't seem that old to me. But they're trying to rescue this private. You know the story probably. And they go through fight after fight to try to get there. And they finally find Private Ryan. And when they find him, say, we've come to save you. And Ryan says, I can't leave my unit here. And what do those Rangers say? They say, we're going to stay with you and fight with you. And they stay, and almost everyone dies except for Private Ryan. And at the end, you have the captain, played by Tom Hanks. He's on the ground. He's been shot, even though the battle's been won there. And Ryan leans over, and Hanks' character whispers something to him. And Allen says, everyone was crying because he was shot, but as a ranger, I was crying because of what he said. He said, earn this. He said, no ranger would ever say, earn this. Why? Because the motto for the Rangers for 200 years has never been earned this, but sus ponte, I choose this. I choose this. I volunteered for this. A true Ranger would have said, I choose this. You don't pay for anything for this. This is why I'm here. And that's a little picture of what Jesus Christ does on the cross for us. He doesn't say to us, earn this. He says, I've given you everything. He doesn't say, I've given you everything, now gut it out for me. Earn it. Jesus says, I came to set you free and pay the debt in full. That's why we can pray to 1 John 1, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Because God forgives us because the price has been paid and His Son, the debt has been canceled. So every time we pray this prayer, we're reviewing our sins thoroughly, requesting God's grace regularly. And then we're reflecting deeply on the assurance and security we have because Christ has paid the price in full. Do you believe that? If you're a Christian here today, the debts we ask God to forgive when we pray this are the very debts that were crucified with Christ when He died and our debts were canceled. Remember that. He's blotted our sins out. He's cast them as far as from the east to the west. You know, you can measure the distance from the North Pole to the South Pole, but try to measure between east and west. You can't. That's how far He's put our sin away because of Christ. If you're a Christian, so every time we pray this, we should rest in that truth that the one who alone could come as the perfect God-man and pay the infinite debt came out of grace and He did that. And we never deserve it. It should humble us and amaze us to know we don't deserve it, but Jesus, as the hymn says, has paid it all. And we ought to come to a recognition of that every time when we pray. He made that payment, the infinite debt. His sacrifice was of infinite value and alone could pay the infinite price. And the cost was infinite, but He paid it by His blood. Ephesians 1:7 says, in Him we have redemption through His blood. He came and He paid it all. And a part of praying, forgive us our debts, is this assurance that we rest in, reflecting on of what Christ has done. It reminds me of this man. He was broken in his pain and trials. And he couldn't get out of the bed at the time. And this visitor came and said, does the enemy ever come and try to tempt you to doubt God? He said, well, all the time. He comes and he says, well, why, if God loves you, would He leave you in this situation? Why did this happen to you? All the time. But I always point him to the cross. And I point him to the deep wounds Jesus took for me. And I say, He loves me.
And the devil never has an answer for that. Never. We sing "It Is Well With My Soul," as we will in just a moment. That one part, "My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, O my soul." Colossians 2 says, "Having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us," we read it earlier, "which was contrary to us, he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Now, that word for a written code, it had a specialized meaning when it came to finances in that time. It was a certificate of debt signed in the debtor's own writing. It might be similar to an IOU in modern times today. And he would put his signature on it, attach this to it. And Paul's saying, this written debt we have against God, where we have not loved him as we should, we have not loved others, we have sinned against him, this massive debt of what we owe God is in this written code. But we reflect, don't we? We review our sin, we request his grace, we reflect what God has done on the cross through Jesus is the debt is canceled. He nailed it to the cross. The Lord forgives our debt in full because Jesus took it personally and he took it perfectly. So only in Christ is that possible, but it has happened in him. So let's turn to him now as we close and ask for his grace and mercy as we grow in him. Gracious Lord, we come before you today. We thank you that in Jesus Christ there is grace and mercy abundant. Many times, Lord God, we try to live our lives our own way, even though we've been forgiven and we're called to walk by faith and grace. We try to make up for our lives and deal with our problems and guilt, and we're called to look to you. We're called to pray this prayer. We're called to repeat it and pray, forgive us our debts, and understand how great our sin is, but understand what Christ has done to pay the price. And we're called to renew our repentance daily and look to you for grace and know that in Christ we've been given that. We thank you. We pray if there's anyone here today that's not come to trust in the Savior, they might look to him today and believe on him who came from heaven to live perfectly in the law of God and then to die in our place, who's canceled that debt in full. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.